Blog Talk Radio.
Y por mejor.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health with your hosts Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ripple. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
And hello, everybody. I hope you had a good week since last we spoke. I know my week has been a little up and down. Lee, how about you? You there?
Yep, I'm here.
How was your week?
Kind of boring.
Oh, no. Well, we
no,
can
not
fix
in a bad
tonight.
Way. Not in a bad way. No. I've just been sewing and making blankets and doing that kind of thing.
Cool.
Yeah, nothing really, nothing exciting that I can think of.
Hmm.
Although my daughter did want me to make sure that if Perry is listening, that we all scream to her, our hands are in the air like we just do not care.
Well, Miss Persephone happens to be at a friend's house tonight having a sleepover.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then I'll make sure not to text you.
Yeah, you can text. I have my phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I'm glad I didn't say anything snarky. You know what I mean?
No. Oh, yeah, no. She would have been like, Mom, what does this mean?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, for those of you who are wondering, it's last weekend, my daughter had a sleepover at somebody else's house, and she'd never stayed over there before, so I left her my cell phone so she could call me on Terry's cell phone just in case, because you never know. You know, you leave your kids somewhere they've never been before, and you know. What do you
Hey, if they don't feel comfortable, you know, it's just like they want to be able to reach out, so it's a good thing.
And
but I, of course, had no idea, so I'm texting away.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm sure she replied, you know, hi, Aunt Lee, it's me. So
she did. She said, hi, I have Mom's phone. And I was like, oh, well, I'm glad she only has one kid, because otherwise I'd be like, which one are you? No,
That's all right.
It was fine.
I want you to know, today we're standing outside school, and the other mom came to pick Persephone up.
Right.
And the other little girl was talking about her cousin, blah, 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 her cousin, blah, blah, blah. Persephone says, my cousin, Sammy. And I whipped around and looked at her, and I went, Sammy's your cousin? She said, well, yeah, she's my cousin. She might as well be.
Yeah, well, I'm her aunt, so that would work.
And that's
that
exactly
would, no,
what
that's
she
cute.
Said. She said, well, Lee's my
that's
aunt.
Cute.
I was like, okay, I'll give you that one.
No, that's cute. I love it. And Sammy keeps saying every day, she says, I miss Powery. When is Powery coming back?
Oh, she's so cute.
So,
the two of them are so cute.
They are. Well, you know, Sammy likes to have people who drop on a dime and go shopping with her. And Terry's like, heck yeah, I'm out. I'm outie. Got my coat on.
I'm glad you guys could get her to get her coat on.
Well, that's because we were going shopping or going to the food store where she knows there's a sushi bar.
Oh, God.
And, you know, nobody knows how to say no to her. because she's just so sweet. So, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah. I can say no.
But that's
I'm the evil mom.
But that's funny because today, it just so happened that today I was in the supermarket in Austin. We had gotten our hairs cut. And so we were in the supermarket together, and he was running into all these people who work with him at Walmart. And they're all telling me how much they love him and how awesome he is. And I started laughing. And I said, well, you know, I'm so glad to hear that because, you know, I always hope that my children will be great out in public. If they need to go and have an attack, have it at home.
Right, yeah.
You know? And she said, oh, I know exactly. I said, plus you guys talk on a very in-the-moment, you know, whatever's going on. I keep bringing up stuff from last week, like he didn't clean his room and he didn't do his laundry. And I said, so I'm always, you know, getting the bad side. She laughed.
Right.
But it was nice to know that you know, it's always nice to know that people love your kid.
Well, you know, I'm a firm believer in the fact that kids are always better for somebody else.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. She was getting, let me tell you something, Robin. She was getting the silverware out. She was getting the napkins out. And she was feeding the cats. And I didn't have to say a word. She was actually asking me, is it time to feed the cats?
That's killing me. You know that.
I know.
In order for me to get her to do any of that, it's like, Perry, will you set the table? Okay, Mom. One fork makes it on the table. And then 20 minutes later, Perry, where's the other fork? Yeah, Perry, set the table. Come on, let's go. Come on.
Well, I do have to say, though, I mean, she wasn't always immediately on target if I needed something. Don't get me wrong. Ron's new thing now is that whenever I'm not paying attention properly, he goes, focus, Perry, focus. So that's his new catchphrase for us. He goes, focus, Perry, focus. And it was usually, I have to admit, it was usually during homework, but still, it's his new catchphrase and he loves it.
I can see him saying it with his little smirk.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know him.
Eyes.
With the little forked tongue coming out. Fatah! Yeah.
He's so funny.
He's a guy. He's a guy. But now, what about you, my darling? How are you doing this week?
Well, you know, got laid off on Monday.
Oh.
They closed the service center that I was manager of here, and that was that. So, I mean, I understand why they did it. It wasn't financially feasible. They offered me another job in the same company, but it would have been a 2.5-hour drive one way to get to where the other, you know, facility where I could work. And my boss, whom I adore, she was, I could tell she was genuinely upset that she was having to let me go. And she's like, well, you know, it's actually down near where Terry lives. And she's like, well, you said your boyfriend lives down there, but maybe you guys could, you know, relocate. And I'm like, you know what? You know, this company is all about telling me that they're in financial trouble. Everything's a problem. You know, money. We need to recover, and I'm sure they will. I don't think they're going to go under or anything like that, but I'm sure they will recover. But right now is a really tough patch for them. So I had this vision in my head that I would relocate, uproot my daughter out of school, and rent out my house, and get down there and start working. And 3 months from now, they'd lay me off again.
Yeah, exactly. Or the economy takes a turn, or it takes a good turn, and now they want to reopen the office, and now you're down there.
Yeah, exactly. So
you know,
either
way, it isn't going to pan out.
She said to me before I left. She said, you know, if you do find yourself living down here, you know, for some reason, call me. Because I will find a job for you.
Right.
But I know that. Well, I know it wasn't that they didn't think I was doing a good job. It was really just a financial decision. There wasn't anything she could do.
Right. And that happened. And
because I'm now, you know, trying to find a new job and collect unemployment and do all those unpleasant things.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. You know, it was almost a relief when it just all was over.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't necessarily go back to work, but just the fact that, you know, you want to try to do whatever you can. And when there's nothing left that you can do, part of it is a relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't envy you the task of trying to
I was on the
orchestrate
phone
through the, what do they call that? The human services department of any state.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a pain.
Yeah. Yeah, I I spent most of this morning just calling, like, utilities and some of my bills and telling them, listen, I've got laid off. What can we do to make this more affordable? You know, so I managed to cut my TV bill in half, which was good.
That's
although
nice.
I will have to come to your house to watch Game of Thrones.
Either that or we make that connection work with my Xfinity.
Yeah. Yeah,
we'll work it out.
We'll have to talk to the cable man about that.
Yes, exactly. But we can make that work, I'm sure. We can find a way.
Yeah.
Either that or you just come visit and we binge watch.
Well, that's kind of what I was figuring. It's just a really good excuse to come.
Yeah, well, you know, and not only that, but plan on coming when it's foul weather.
Mm-hmm.
And then we won't feel bad for staying in the house with popcorn and binge-watching 4 episodes of Game of Thrones.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I'm sure that one of these weeks shortly, Terry's going to have to go off someplace, and I'm not going to be able to go with him, of course.
Mm.
So I'll be calling you up going, can I come down?
Sure, absolutely. Good food. We'll have good food.
There you go.
Be good food, but it'll be good food.
Speaking of good food, that is the topic tonight, and we're 10 minutes in and we haven't even discussed it yet.
I'm watching the clock, and I realized last week was 15 minutes of how are you, what are you doing, and then we always wonder why we go over.
Yeah, well, you know, this is our catch-up, and I honestly hope that there are times when, you know, people are listening to this and sort of keeping up with us personally. It's our little personal soap opera, I guess. You know, it's our reality radio.
It is true. Reality radio. Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it. Oh, Lee got her hair cut. I wonder if she posted a picture.
Oh, please, don't frighten me.
No, but I did find out how to get my hair lavender.
You did?
I did. I found a place that has the hair. It's. I don't know if you remember this, because I don't know how your grandmother was, but my grandmother had snow white hair, my dad's mom. And my mom used to always put that blue rinse through it back in the day when so that they didn't get yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they now make it like in lavender and where it actually sticks to your gray hair so that people who have white hair can color their hair.
Growing up for me, across the street, there was it was unusual in our neighborhood, but the people across the street had a maid who came in twice a week. And she was of African-American descent, and she was elderly, and she had white hair. And she would come in her little uniform, all professional, and thing was, she had blue hair. Her hair was white, and she had that blue rinse in. And so, you know, as kids, we didn't understand, and we didn't know her name, so we just referred to her as Blueberry. And because she had blue hair. And so you're talking about this, and of course I immediately flashed on Blueberry. Yeah, and we adored her. We would always be like, hi, you know, when she would come, and bye when she would go, and for years that went on.
Well, for anybody who knows me personally, they know that my mother absolutely hated my red hair because I'd been dyeing my hair since I was 18. Usually a shade about the color of redwood. Sometimes a little darker in a more, you know, red wine kind of coloring. Sometimes it would end up a little bit lighter in the auburn scale. But for the most part, it was always a red tone. And it turned out later in my life that she finally owned up to the fact that she always hated it. And it was right around the time I decided to, you know, grow my hair out and embrace my cronage. Well, now that we're still not speaking and my niece keeps telling me I need to dye my hair back just to piss off my mom, came across Kelly Osbourne and her lavender hair.
Oh, jeez.
And I decided that ought to send people right over the top on Easter.
No, it's not an Easter bonnet. It's my Easter hairdo.
It's my Easter hairdo. And if it's a washout, who cares?
Exactly.
And lavender and gray go great together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually.
So I'll be sure to post it if I decide to do it. Yeah, I'll post it if I decide to actually do it.
Yeah. Not now, but you and I need to have a conversation about the red hair thing because I've gone red and it has now faded. And I like the strawberry blonde effect I've got going now.
Mm-hmm.
But how do I go out and match it now to dye in my roots?
So. Well, what you have to do is you have to find somebody who has a strawberry blonde color.
Yeah.
The problem was that your hairdresser at the time either had too bright or too dark.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you do, don't go into any of those wine colors. Don't let them talk you into it.
Yeah.
Because it'll be way too dark for you.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is you should look into over the counter, because I'll tell you what, there's a couple of brands of over the counter stuff where they're made just for touching up roots, and they're made to sort of be a blend-in kind of thing, because, you know, you don't want to look too different. Even if you look at someone, their new hair and the bottom of their hair are never the same color.
Oh, yeah,
just because
true.
Of mm-hmm. of everything that goes on.
Yeah.
So you can get away with it when you're doing roots,
mm-hmm.
but, and plus it's a lot cheaper if you can figure out how to do it yourself.
Well, that's kind of what I was hoping for, because, you know, of course I went red and decided when I did it, well, I can afford to come every, like, 6-8 weeks and get this touched up, because I'm working, and
mm-hmm.
it was the jinx.
It was the jinx.
Yep. But anyway.
We can figure that out.
Yeah. Tonight our topic is food and where it's gotten to now, where we came from.
Like Twinkies?
Well, you know,
no.
Twinkies are sort of an indicative food that's part of the problem.
So you're talking about kale.
No, actually, you know what? What I'm talking about is that even just when you and I were kids, I'm 52, and so are you.
I'm 53.
Oh, well, okay, you're 53. You turned 53 last month. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now older than you.
Yeah, for 4 months or whatever, 3 months. But 1962 was a damn good year.
I'll tell you what, it was the best, man. The best, from start to finish.
That's it.
Anyway, but yes,
when we were kids, our parents went to the store. They bought produce generally that was locally grown. And if it was out of season, you could not get it.
Absolutely.
There was the rare, you know, occasion where, you know, you'd get strawberries from Florida, you know, and when they were in season there, and
right,
they would
or
actually
oranges
pay to truck
or
them
lemons
up.
Because
exactly.
they had a longer growing season down there.
Exactly, but it wasn't like you could get mangoes in December because they were coming from Chile the way we do now.
Right, right. You had a couple of things that might be hothouse, like a tomato.
Right.
Or something like that. But it was very few and far between. That's
mm-hmm.
where the whole seasonal, you know,
right.
on menus, seasonal, because
mm-hmm.
different things came up at different times.
And we eat differently depending on the season, and that's the
right.
way we're intended to. You know, in the summer, we all tend to eat more salads and more fruits because they're in season, more melon. I mean, who eats melon in December? You know, I mean, not too many people. So
true.
You know, and so that's the way our bodies are intended to eat. We've been eating like this for, you know, generations. And in the last 50 years, some things have really happened that have changed the way our food is delivered, the way our food is produced, and the actual genetic makeup as well of our food. The first thing that I want to talk about is when you go to the supermarket and you go up and down your aisles and you are looking for, you know, convenience foods, things that come in cans and boxes and are generally packaged. Usually if you look at those things, one of the first ingredients will be corn syrup or soy or my favorite one is when you look at a lot of the wheat breads, it's cellulose. Cellulose is edible sawdust.
Yeah, I don't
literally,
buy that anymore.
Yeah, literally from, you know, wood chippings. And they find a way to rinse it and sterilize it and make it edible. Really?
Filler.
Yeah, exactly, because it's cheap. It's cheaper than flour, if you can imagine.
I can imagine.
And it makes the bread, it makes the whole wheat bread crunchy and puts fiber in it. That's how those breads have 4 grams of fiber in every slice. Well, it's because it's
you're eating wood.
Yeah, that's right, you're eating sawdust. So I really want people, when they go to the supermarket, to really look at what they're eating. Food is not what it used to be. If you are looking at a box and there are ingredients in that box that you can't pronounce, why would you eat them?
If you don't know what's in it,
well, yeah, but if you don't know what's in it, why would you eat it?
So basically the grapples that I bought today, that would be a clear example of a modified food.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are two kinds of modifying of, let's say, fruits and vegetables. So something like that, they had that white broccoli a few years ago, and then they kind of came in with the greenish cauliflower. That's a hybridization, and that's different. That's where they take, you know, some of the buds from the stem of the white cauliflower, and they put it on the green broccoli, and it makes a new thing naturally.
So it's not necessarily bad.
Right. It doesn't necessarily. Okay. It's not had its molecular DNA changed in any way. Nothing's been added to it. We've been doing that with grapes, with wine, for millions of years. I mean, cultivating grapes, that's how they did it. They, you know, we'll cross this grape with that grape. We'll see what happens. They do it with roses.
For wine, they do it a lot with wine.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So, so that's really not a problem.
Okay.
You also see it sometimes with ornamental trees. You know, you'll see a tree. I have one in my yard that half the tree blooms in its white flowers, and the other half of the tree blooms in its pink flowers, and that's because they're hybridized. There's actually two separate trees that have been put together.
Okay.
You know, to make it look that way. So, and that's natural because that actually will occur in nature. You know, if you plant, for example, if you plant mint too close to the oregano will taste like mint.
I've had that problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
So these things do occur naturally. Now, then we talk about foods that have been genetically altered intentionally by man.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, exactly. GMO. I love the sound effect. Thank you.
No problem.
This began in the mid-80s and became a little bit more popular in the early 90s. Something like 80% of all soy products that are sold in the United States now are genetically modified soy. The same thing with corn. And this is the evil when you always hear people talking about, oh, it's got corn syrup in it. Corn syrup's not good for you. Well, yeah, corn syrup's not necessarily good for you because that's a sugar, and we'll talk about sugars later in this show. But really, the bugaboo for me with corn syrup is that it's genetically modified corn. My husband had Crohn's disease. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
And his daughter, my stepdaughter, who is in her 20s, was also diagnosed with Crohn's disease.
Mm-hmm.
Persephone occasionally exhibits symptoms when I don't watch what she eats. Corn.
Mm-hmm.
Corn is an absolute trigger for her. Now, I've done a lot of research, and one of the studies that I came across talked about how the bacteria that they use to modify the DNA in the corn, and the reason they modify the corn is to, A, make it more resistant to, insect infiltration, to get it to grow taller, yield more. That bacteria is being found in the lower intestine of people with Crohn's disease. Now, the incidence of...
So is it not digestible? Is that the issue? Or does it create this bacteria?
They honestly don't know why it's there. And the theory is that it's supposed to pass out of the body and be harmless, and we won't retain it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've done some research about this, and one of the fears, even of the GMO scientists who do this, is that they will come across something that they will genetically modify, a food that will adhere to human DNA and change the DNA. And
you know, that's really interesting, and I don't mean to get off topic,
mm-hmm.
but I just finished a book series by
mm-hmm.
Kim Harrison. It's called The Hollows.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically was a genetically modified tomato
mm-hmm.
that killed like 50% of the human race.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, they put it out there because it didn't affect anyone who was magical in any way. And, of
mm-hmm.
course, it brought in vampires and werewolves and witches and all this kind of stuff because that was the whole point of the book. But it's interesting that some 15 or 20 years ago, this author found something somewhere
mm-hmm.
that triggered her to write a story
mm-hmm.
where a genetically modified food substance actually became the demise
mm-hmm. right.
of the human race.
Right. And the World Health Organization, right on their website, talks about this being a concern of, you know, even the scientists who create these genetically modified foods. That one day, because they don't do a lot of testing. People think, oh, it's like a drug. They must do all these, you know, blind tests and these long tests about, you know, how it's going to affect us. No, there has been no effective study, short-term or long-term, in the United States about how these genetically modified foods are affecting us. The one thing we are looking at is that since they've been introduced, autoimmune diseases have gone through the roof. More people have fibromyalgia. More people have Crohn's disease. More people have diabetes. More people have certain types of cancers. These are all autoimmune. And when I was 15 years old, 20 years old, the statistics are 1 in 33 people would have diabetes. The statistics today are 1 in 3 people have diabetes. And if you were born after 2003, I believe, you have a 50-50 chance of having diabetes going forward.
What type are you talking about?
Diet-driven, not what
type
Austin
2.
Has. Yes, diet-driven. Now.
But can't that now, just to play devil's advocate with you,
mm-hmm.
The majority of cases of type 2 diabetes
mm-hmm.
are 100% related to obesity in the country.
But there are people today who are being diagnosed with it who are not what we would consider obese.
Well, what
children.
We consider obese and what clinically is obese may be two different things. Because I know my neighbor was diagnosed with it and he changed his diet, not
mm-hmm.
GMO related, but you know, carb and sugar related, and is no longer testing
mm-hmm.
positive for type 2 diabetes
mm-hmm.
because
Absolutely.
He lost weight, got more exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So couldn't part of this
mm-hmm.
be related to the fact that the obesity level in this country is so on the rise and has
mm-hmm.
been for many years?
Right, and that is one of the next things I want to talk about, and it is definitely related to diabetes specifically. But Crohn's disease certainly doesn't have anything to do with obesity, neither does fibromyalgia that we know of. And, you know, a lot of these cancers don't have anything to do with obesity.
No.
And they are all on the rise. That statistic for diabetes mirrors all the other statistics as well. Crohn's disease, same thing. Used to be something like 1 in 300 people had Crohn's disease. This is
right. It was a rare thing
ago.
That you heard of.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's 1 in 30. 1 in 30 people. So, you know, I tell people all the time, oh, you know, my husband had Crohn's disease. Oh, my sister-in-law has that. Or, oh, you know, my daughter's, you know, cousin has that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always somebody now that had it. Where growing up, I had never heard of it before. Nobody
mm-hmm.
knew had it. Nobody. So
now, the worst thing I heard about was diverticulitis.
Yeah, exactly. And so let's move forward, and we'll talk about why diet is becoming such an issue and the things that we do in this country that are making it worse as opposed to other countries and other places. Because I think we're probably coming up on the break. I can't see the clock.
Yes.
I have to put my glasses
yes,
on. Okay.
I was just going to say to you, we
mm-hmm.
should start that off after the break,
mm-hmm.
because our lovely tech man has sent me a note and said that we are going to be listening to Spring Love by Jenna Green.
Okay, sounds good.
Listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
One power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be. You're listening to Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to Robin and Lisa.
Hello. We are back after that break. It was Ted excessively long, don't you think?
It was like 5 minutes.
But I guess it's, you know, station business. We have to do it. And I do actually like
some of it. I agree.
Yeah.
I'm just being poopy today.
Oh, are you?
I am. I am. Maybe I don't want to give thanks to the universe today.
You don't? Why
no.
not? Why
no.
are you feeling poopy?
Because my friend doesn't have a job.
Oh, well, I appreciate your support of my poopiness. Does anybody out there want to hire me? Just call the station.
Yes, hire her. She's fantastic.
Thank you.
Anyway,
you
so where were we?
We were about to talk about diet and why, as Americans, we are bigger, larger. I hate the word fat, having been a fat person myself.
Not as healthy as we could possibly be.
There you go. Because it's not about your size. It's about being healthy and living a comfortable life and being happy with one's self, whether it means you're happy with yourself at 180 pounds or 280 pounds, whatever, as long as you're healthy.
Exactly.
So, it was funny. You know, I knew this because they had taught it to us in school. But being over in Dubai, I got a Kit Kat out of the one night I was just having a chocolate attack, as we women are wont to do. And I generally never take anything out of the mini fridge in the hotel room because, you know, it's ridiculously expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a Kit Kat bar in there, and it was calling my name. And I told Terry, that's it. I'm having the Kit Kat bar in here, and I whip it out, and I'm thinking Kit Kat bar, and I bite into it, and I'm like, this doesn't taste anything like a Kit Kat bar in the United States. It tastes like malt. It's, you know, that really malty chocolate flavor, almost like a malted milk ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and it was crunchy. It had the little crunchy wafer thingy in it, and I'm like, this doesn't taste at all. And I flip it over, and I look at the ingredients, and there's malt. It's like the third or fourth ingredient. And I'm like, well, that's weird. I don't think we have malted Kit Kats back home.
Mm-hmm.
So he tastes it, because he's thinking, you know, I'm crazy. And he tastes it. Well, it's not as sweet either. I'm like, yeah, I think they add the malt, because it's not as, they can't add as much sugar in other countries as, you know, they do in this country. And I'm reading something in the chat room. the aside from the regional flavors, yes.
Well, you know, I would think it would be, I don't know, I would think that certain things would be the same because they're, you know what I mean, they're purchased. It's like if you go to one McDonald's and you buy, let's just say, chicken nuggets, any McDonald's you go to, the chicken nuggets taste the same.
Right.
You know what I mean? You would think that something with a universal name on it, like Three Musketeers or Snickers or whatever, that no matter where you got them, they would be the same.
Well, you know, one of the things about this is that other countries have limits to how much sugar and fat and how much chemical content you can put in prepared foods like candy bars. And it's for example, one of my favorite examples is Pop-Tarts. And you've heard me say this a million times. Pop-Tarts has to create, Kellogg's Pop-Tarts and their cereals, they have to create a completely separate line of cereals to sell in the UK, in Europe, because there's too much sugar in them. And there are several of the food colorings that we use in this country in, say, Fruit Loops, for example, that are illegal. They're considered to be carcinogens in other countries. And we're still using them to feed our kids every day.
Right, we got rid of that red food dye number 5, I think it is.
And there's a yellow dye as well.
A number of years ago, yeah.
And a blue dye.
Well, I will say that when I was in high school, we went to Canada. It was one. Yes, I was in the band. And we went to Canada for an exchange program. They had come and stayed with us, and they stayed with the members of the band, and we stayed with them. And what was really interesting was, after school every day, my girlfriends and I would watch General Hospital, and we would make microwave brownies, have a pound of Twizzlers, and a six-pack of Tab. Do you remember Tab?
I remember Tab.
It had the hot pink can, right? So we figured we were offsetting the brownies and the Twizzlers by drinking the Tab.
Oh, God.
Now, we did this, you know, like 2 or 3 times a week. We'd go to one of our houses, and we'd stop at the store because we all got our driver's licenses, and we could stop at the store, and we would do that. We went to Canada, and we were so excited. They had Tab, and we popped a can of Tab, and we spit it out. Because in Canada, all the way back in the late 70s, because this is when I graduated in 80, they couldn't use the saccharin that they used in Tab.
Right. Saccharin was considered a carcinogen. And
right. So they had no sweetener whatsoever in that soda.
We
were shocked and amazed. So, I mean, I know it does happen, but I just thought that was because that was all about the time when this kind of stuff started to come up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Tab would cause cancer. And then, of course, the other story comes out that, yes, it causes cancer if you drink the equivalent, the mouse or rat or whatever that got the cancer, drank the equivalent of 40 cases a day of Tab.
Well, it was actually the saccharin was the issue.
Right, right.
And they took saccharin off the market.
And what did they replace it with? One of your favorites, Robin?
I know, aspartame. Yeah.
Aspartame.
Yeah. And you know, when it first came out, everybody was like, oh, that's great, aspartame, you know, terrific. And then we find out it causes brain tumors.
Woo!
Which is why, you know what, if you want to sweeten something, just use some sugar or some honey. And, you know, but pure cane sugar and the unrefined stuff, keep it simple. We use a lot of agave in our house and coconut sugar. I turned Terry on to agave, and he loves it now. And so, you know, there are other alternatives.
Absolutely.
And stevia, you know.
The biggest thing is moderation on anything.
Exactly.
You know, you don't put, you know, 2 shovels of sugar in your tea.
Well, I do, but...
No, I've made you tea. No, we do not. No, you do not, because I know the little spoon that I use, and it's not even a full teaspoon, and we only use 3. We probably use 1.5 teaspoons of sugar in our mug of tea.
Well, I will tell you...
And it's perfectly sufficient.
Yeah, I will tell you that at home, I have my mugs, and they're probably... They're probably double size. They're probably 18 to 20 ounces. And I put two hefty teaspoons of sugar in that. So, but that's
not
really
a lot for 18 ounces.
Right. But you know what? That's not even the problem. The problem today here in the United States is that sugar is in everything. Things it doesn't need to be in. One of the things that drives me insane is, you know, you go to the salad dressing aisle and you pick up honey mustard salad dressing. Honey mustard. Now, it's got honey in it and it's got mustard. I have made honey mustard at home. You just mix them together in equal parts. It's delicious. No need to add anything else, yes?
I agree.
But if you look at the label of the honey mustard salad dressing, there's honey, there's mustard, there's sugar in the form of corn syrup or dextrose, which is another sugar.
Now, why? Is that a stabilizer?
No, they just add it to make it sweeter. Like, honey's not sweet enough.
I don't eat honey mustard salad dressing, so.
Oh, see, I like it. And it thins it out. You know, the honey keeps it kind of thick. So if it thins it out, they can get, you know, they don't have to spend as much because honey is expensive,
right,
but corn syrup is cheap, right?
Right.
So and so this is all about, it's all about the dollar, not about what's good for people to be eating, because you're putting this on your salad because you think if you eat a salad, you're going to, we're right back to that tab thing, right? So if I eat a salad, I'm going to be good.
Then
if I have pie,
I'll be okay.
Yeah, right. I'm going to be eating healthy. But you're dumping all this sugar on your salad. So, you know, another thing that's got to be careful, you got to look at the labels and read what's in your food. You should see me when I go shopping. You know, people hate to be, you know, behind me in the aisle because I'm standing in the aisle reading the salad dressing, and inevitably some woman comes up and is like, "Excuse me, I can get that salad dressing." Oh yeah, sure. Sorry.
Sure, but you don't want to buy that because it's full of GMOs and sugar.
Exactly.
People love you.
Oh yeah, every once in a while I can't keep my mouth shut and there'll be somebody in the supermarket putting, you know, Fruit Loops and stuff in there and they've got three little kids and, you know, you can just see she's feeding them Fruit Loops and Captain Crunch and, you know, other
Count
Chocula.
Captain Crunch. That is my favorite.
It used to be mine too until I read this box and saw what the hell was in it. And you're looking and you're going, gee, you know, in other countries they can't sell Fruit Loops because
people are like, oh God, I'm going down the other aisle. That crazy broad's in here again.
That's right.
No, I know what you mean. And you know, I do know that there are things that, you know, there's a lot of things that make sense. That just make sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the whole eat the rainbow.
My favorite
thing. It makes sense. Having some raw food makes sense. You know, it's hard. Someone like me, like when you have someone like me come up to you and you know, and I don't say this in a negative way, you're spewing your stuff. And, you know, here's someone like me that, yeah, you know, it would be great if I could buy organic carrots, but they're a dollar more than regular carrots and I'm feeding five kids.
And do you want to know something? The only way we as consumers are going to bring those prices down on organic vegetables is to buy them. And it's a catch-22 because supply and demand. When something's not in as great a demand, the price is higher because the farmer has to make more for his effort. But if he can sell more carrots, organic carrots, I'm actually at the point, my wife, I have to say, the Weiss near me, and I don't know, you know, Pennsylvania Weiss is a local supermarket here. About 2 years ago, they got on this bandwagon where they completely revamped their store. They've got 2.5 aisles worth of, you know, all kinds of health food in right in the supermarket and a lot of organic produce. Now, I also have a Wegmans near me. They're not as good as the Wegmans, but they're also not as expensive or as huge as the Wegmans. So I really am very pleased with my Weiss. I can go there and get organic carrots. And you know what? They're only 25 cents more a bag. For a quarter, I will make that call. Now, there are other things. There are other things. Granted, I don't do that on. Like for cucumbers, they are a lot more expensive. And I can take cucumbers home and peel them. And they're not genetically modified. They're just cucumbers from local growers. So, and you can tell that from the code on that little sticker that's on all our vegetables. And there are things online that'll tell you what those codes mean. And off the top of my head, I don't remember them, but I think if it says it's a 4, it means it was grown in a standard method, which means they used pesticides and stuff on it. But stuff you can wash off, and then if you peel them, that it lowers the amount of pesticide in the cucumber significantly.
Right.
But I think if it starts with a 6 or a 9, then it's genetically modified, I think. Don't quote me on that. Go do the research yourself and look it up if you're listening, and that's important to you.
Well, I do know my supermarket, and ShopRite is a supermarket here. It's the the big one. We have ShopRites and Pathmarks, seem to be the biggest ones in the area. We do have some Wegmans, and there's something more up north called Top Tomato, which supposedly has a lot of non-GMO, organically grown. But even my ShopRite, excuse me, has a local market in the ShopRite where local growers can bring their produce and they will sell it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we are making a difference. Things are changing slowly. But we have to vote with our dollars to make it happen. And
but it's hard now. You're in a position now. Let's be depressing for a moment. You're unemployed.
Oh, I went to the supermarket today and I bought stuff I would never normally have bought if I was working. I just did.
It's just, I mean, you have to feed your family.
Exactly.
And sometimes it's, so you can you, like we do with our spirituality in, in pagan religions, can you at least do some things? If you can't be totally gung-ho with the program, can you, are there things that you can do that will be a step better? For example, eat those carrots raw instead of cooking all the nutrients out of them.
Absolutely.
Eat those cucumbers raw. Substitute some raw cucumbers for your, like if you're having pizza, okay? Everybody orders pizza, all right? Everybody loves pizza. We love pizza. But when we had pizza, when Perry was here, we had cucumbers and in a cup. Because at least we're trying to 50-50 our plate.
Exactly.
If we can't 80-20 our plate, at least we can 50-50 it. And
right.
That will at least, or will that at least make a difference?
Every step toward eating more whole, raw foods in your diet is a good step. Whether it is just 20% a day, or it's 50%, or it's 80%. Even, you know, the big whole, you know, raw foods gurus, I don't think can eat, you know, entirely 100% raw food all the time. It's just not possible. I actually was reading a raw food recipe from one of the big raw food gurus recently, and there was something in the recipe that I'm thinking, well, that's cooked, and but you're using it in the raw thing. Oh, extract. I think it was like vanilla extract. And I'm thinking, well, technically, extract is kind of cooked.
Right, it's a produced product, right?
It's the distilled process. It's a distillation process, very much akin to creating, you know, alcohol, because it is an alcohol base. So technically, that's a cooked product, but I'm not going to split hairs over a teaspoon of vanilla.
Right, well, that's your vegan, vegetarian fine lines.
Yeah, there are people out there who probably would, who are really, I must eat completely raw. But, and then get a vanilla bean and scrape it out, I guess.
Okay.
But anyway, so...
So you can make small steps without necessarily breaking the budget for those who have to be budget conscious or, I mean, you can't just turn around one day and tell your kids, okay, we're no longer eating any of the stuff that you love.
I don't recommend that people do that. I mean, I don't want people to go home and throw out everything they have in their house because it's not, you know, health food.
Yes, you do. You would love that.
No, not necessarily. What I would like to see is them to make some small baby step changes and continue to make small changes until they do get to a place where they're eating, you know, let's say 50 to 80% better food than they were. You know, would I prefer it if instead of, I don't know.
Pop-Tarts?
Instead of Pop-Tarts, you know, she ate a granola, organic, non-genetically modified, you know, whole grain granola for breakfast. Yeah, because that's better for her. With, you know, coconut milk, because dairy please. Don't even get me started on dairy. It's one of the things we'll talk about, but we're running out of time. We're going to have to probably do another show to talk about some of the other stuff I wanted to talk about.
Absolutely. We should. We should do one. We were talking earlier. We should do one a month.
Yeah.
And make it a topic. This was sort of broad across the board.
Yep.
Maybe we can do one where we just deal with sugars.
Mm-hmm.
Where we just deal with raw food.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's what we're going to do. This was sort of a introduction to a lot of the concepts. I actually just read something today about nanotide material in our food, and I didn't even understand it. Now, I'm reading this, and I'm going, well, I don't understand what they're talking about here. Are they talking about dust particles? What the hell are they talking about? But apparently people are getting up in arms about these nanotides that are in our foods now, and apparently they're having the deleterious effect on people's health. And now this is something else to be worried about besides genetically modified foods. It's almost like, from what I understand, it's almost like they're talking about these little itty-bitty dust particles or something that get into people's foods. And no, Roseanne, I don't think it's the sawdust. I think they're talking about like stuff that settles out of the air, pollution, and you know, like you go to the supermarket and you buy meat, and that meat sat out, and it collected these microbes or whatever they are, these nanotides, and for some reason they're affecting our food in a deleterious way. But yeah, so I have to do some more research and figure out what the heck they're talking about. So. But
very true.
Of stuff to do for shows on this, but I'm not going to beat people over the head with it because it is a little bit depressing when you start thinking about all of it. But I want if somebody tomorrow decides they're going to buy organic tomatoes and that they're going to cut out corn syrup and soy, genetically modified soy, from their diet based on this show, I will be happy. And if they continue to eat, you know, other stuff that's not so good, that's fine. So there are little things you can do.
And if anyone wants to ask any questions about this topic or any future topics of the like,
or
they
suggest
can,
a topic for this type of show.
Absolutely, something you would like to know more about, they can send that to Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health on Facebook, post a question. We'll be more than happy to answer it. You can also send emails to the station at cern.org@gmail.com. If you have any questions for Robin or Terry, who's hiding in the background, being our wonderful engineer, Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings on Facebook, and you can reach them at littlestonebridge, all mushed together, @gmail.com.
I love the all mushed
together.
And
I know, Robin, also you have a business.
Yeah.
And how can they reach you if they're interested in some health coaching?
That would be Albright Wellness. But they can still write to the littlestonebridge @gmail.com address. That's probably the best. Yeah, that's probably the best way to get me now. Albright Wellness is going underneath the umbrella of Little Stone Bridge, and it's going to all become one thing,
okay.
So that we can do the personal transformation along with the holistic, you know, the eating and the counseling and everything that the life coaching, the health coaching entails.
All right. And speaking on a natural aspect, next week I will have some recipes for those that want to dye eggs for Easter/Ostara.
Cool.
I have come across a number of ways that you can dye Easter eggs without going out there and buying that chemical pause stuff, which there's nothing wrong with it. The kids love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's much quicker. With the natural dyes, you do have to leave your eggs in a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
But they come out looking like actual colored eggs, like from nature.
Oh, cool.
You know, like a robin's egg or a, you know, different kind
pretty.
Of eggs in different kind of colors. They look very much like river rocks.
Oh, cool.
It was really pretty. Hmm. And it does require more work, as being natural does.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be very interesting for your kids to also see what, you know, where did we actually get dyes from before we had chemical dyes?
Yeah.
You know, where did the ancient Egyptians get blue from or
yep.
red from?
Yep.
And because they did.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can talk about that as well next week. So if anybody has any really cool things that they've done, like, I know, just as an example, my mom one year wrapped the eggs in onion skins. Like, you know when you bring home your bag of onions and all those, like, the outer skins come off?
Yeah.
Well, she tied them all around the eggs, and then we put them in beet juice.
Mm.
And they came out so beautiful. Granted, it was only pink, but I'm sure with a little bit of twerking, I can come up with, or no, it's tweaking. I don't twerk. with a little bit of tweaking, we can work that out as well. And maybe I can, I'll get a chance to do some chemistry in my kitchen this week.
Cool. That sounds like fun. I wish I was there.
So maybe, because it will be the Christian Good Friday,
mm-hmm.
I believe is next week, if I'm not completely lost in my mind. So it's the beginning of that three-day holiday over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be kind of appropriate. Maybe we can also talk about, Robin, you could talk about the connection between Ostara and Good Friday and Easter.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because I know nothing says crucifixion like chocolate eggs.
And bunnies.
I'm sorry. And bunnies. Yes. Chocolate eggs and bunnies just scream crucifixion to me.
I know.
So I know I'm terrible. I'm
it's
absolutely
okay.
terrible.
It's okay. The other thing I was going to touch on, I can remember my grandmother telling stories about her mother during World War II dyeing her hair red with boiling down carrots and beets and something else, so it might have been like rhubarb or something. It's like a bunch of red vegetables, and concentrating it. Then actually using it to dye her hair because there were shortages, you know, during the war, and you couldn't get certain things. And, her talking about that. So if people can dye their hair with that stuff, I'm sure we can dye eggs.
Yeah, henna. Henna is a natural substance, and they use that all the time. I used to use that in my hair a lot of times before I was actually old enough to go to, you know, where I couldn't actually go to the beauty parlor, because back in the day you could spend $190 to get your hair dyed.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier now, but you could go to the beauty supply store and buy henna and rub that through your hair.
Yeah, that's cool.
And
it
does work. Now, I will tell you this, if you decide to do that to your hair, let me just say to you, A, it's darker than you would probably like, and B, it does leave mineral deposits in your hair, like metal.
Yeah.
Not metal where you can feel it, but like a metally deposit. And the ends of your hair will get darker and darker until they're black. So be very careful when you use henna, because I ran into that problem after using it for so long. If I flipped my long hair up, the top was my beautiful red color, and the bottom had so many mineral deposits. It took 3 hours to strip my hair down to just its basic brown color.
Wow.
So be careful if you're throwing henna in your hair.
Yeah, no, I haven't done that. I haven't had
in general, anyone who does that, it will eventually create a deposit.
Yeah, we've been playing with Mendy, you know, on your skin.
Nice.
Yeah.
On your skin. But see, that's if you look at what the deposit is that's left in your skin, that's the color that will be left in your hair.
Right.
Except if you have colored hair.
Yeah.
Because then it just, you know, it sucks everything in when you have colored hair.
Yeah. One last thing I want to talk about, and I'm actually kind of excited about this. You know, Terry and I are always talking about, in our personal relationship, about how people build this sacred temple between the two of them. You know, when you're in a relationship and you build trust and you build good communication, and how that translates into the spiritual realm. And so one of the euphemisms, metaphors that we use is that's part of building our sacred temple together. It's a place where we go, and it's ours, and it's a safe place. We can talk about anything there. We can do anything that moves us there and be together there. And it's almost like sacred circle, but it's only the two of us. And it's our little temple, and it's always there, and it's always the same, and we build it, you know, a little bit at a time together. And Tuesday night, because we've been having these talks about it so long, Tuesday night his show is going to deal with sexuality, the act of sexual submission, and spirituality, and how those things are all connected. And
50
so
Shades of Spirituality.
Well, kind of. So it's going to be a very adult topic. So I just want to warn people now. So if you have, you know, when you're listening to the show, if you've got your, you know, 13, 14 year old wandering around the house, you might want to put them to bed or have them go in the other room or listen in
or
on the phone
the
that
phone.
Night. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting show. And our friend Marcy is going to join us on the show because she has a lot of experience in this realm as well. And
that's this Tuesday?
This Tuesday. So
awesome.
It should be very interesting.
Same bat time, same bat station?
Same bat time, same bat station. Yep.
Nice.
That'll be Reverend Terry's Power Hour. That will be his topic this Tuesday. And I'll be there to talk about it with him. And
I think I might be there as well.
That would be awesome. I was going to ask you if you wanted to join in because...
Yeah,
because,
you know, I have, you know,
oh,
a little
yeah.
history.
Yeah, you do.
There's
yeah.
a little history there. Just
mm-hmm.
a little.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be interesting, and I'm sure none of us will completely agree, but I think the one thing we will agree on is that it is actually a really great way to improve communication and intimacy in a relationship and trust. But we'll touch on all of that when we get there
awesome.
On Tuesday night. So I just wanted to mention that to everybody.
Awesome sauce.
All righty. It is, what time? 11:06. So as usual, we have run a little bit over.
That's because of the break. It's six minutes. It's the break.
You don't think it's because we chattered a lot at the beginning?
No. No, I think it's because the break is too long.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll
we
take
don't
that
need
under
a break.
Advisement.
We
we'll
should
take
just
that
keep
under advisement
going.
With the station owner.
Either that or we should just plan on having a 90-minute show
well,
and just fill it up.
We you know, we could do that anytime you want. We got 2 hours total here.
All right, well,
you
let me know.
Longer, I'm all for it.
We'll put a note out on our Facebook page. Let's take a vote. Let's make that the vote this week on spiritual wellness. Who thinks we should make the show an hour and a half instead of just an hour?
Okay, sounds good. Anybody voting from the chat room?
Not yet. Right now everyone's laughing.
Oh, okay.
But we shall see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, geez, we still
do
a break every
30
minutes.
Every 30 minutes. All right, well, if it's a six-minute break every 30 minutes, that means we're only really doing an hour and 15-minute show. All right, that works for me.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, call me this week. Let me know how you're doing. I'll be
okay.
sewing.
I will. Okay. How are the blankets going?
They're going good. I finished the one that's going to that place where we went together that time.
Uh-huh.
I finished that one, just in case they're
nice.
Listening.
Cool.
And it came out really square, so I was very happy.
Oh, good.
Because, you know, when you have T-shirts that bend every which way and you have a sheet that is very staccato in one way,
mm-hmm.
sometimes they don't always want to go together.
Yeah, oh, sure.
But this one worked out really good. So one down, three more to go. I'm now working on one for our little Perry girl.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can
so.
Be excited about that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep the sequins away from her chin. Because two of those shirts are so covered with sequins that if she falls asleep, she'll probably cut herself on her chin.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put them in the middle. But
okay.
All right. Oh, he says the songs are long.
The songs
no,
are long.
No, the song was not long. All right. We're going now.
Okay. I will talk to you later.
Blessed be, everybody.
Blessed be. All right, love you. Have a good week.
Love you, too. You, too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.